Good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, in verse 9. For I also am a man under authority. And we'll set that in its context, beginning with verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. So Jesus encountered a certain centurion, not to be confused with a centenarian, who is somebody who is 100 years old. A centurion is a Roman officer over 100 soldiers. So he encounters a centurion in Capernaum, which became his base, that is Capernaum, became his base of ministry after he was rejected at Nazareth. Now what is remarkable is the compassion of the centurion. His servant was deathly ill, and he must do what he can. Luke tells us that his servant was dear to him, was sick, and was ready to die. The centurion was also a man of great faith in God, and our Savior commends the centurion on the basis of his testimony. And one aspect of this testimony was his understanding of authority. It was this understanding and healthy respect of authority that acted as an aid to his faith. The centurion was a man under authority, and he accepted that fact, though he had authority delegated to him as well. This is a big problem in our society. Respect for authority. This is why we have undisciplined classrooms, and we have a society in which our prisons are full. There's even a breakdown of authority within some churches as well, and those who would like to see it so. So we begin with the question, how does one learn healthy respect for authority? Now, if authority is an aid to faith, as it is taught here, we ought to understand this. And well, it begins at home with the commandment, honor your father and your mother. Obeying the commandment leads to a blessed life and spiritual adornment. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. For there will be graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. So from childhood, one goes into the world and is subject to other authority. The authority of the state, the authority of the police, and even the authority of the tax man. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And so, one goes to work, and you got to listen to the boss. Even more so, if you proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. The scripture says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. So you got a bad boss. He's a creep, he's dishonest, he's disrespectful, whatever. You serve him anyway, because ultimately you don't work for that guy or that lady. You work for the Lord. So be a good testimony. Then we get married. And what are we called to do? To submit to one another in the fear of God. Now the husband is placed in a position of authority in the family, but he must love his wife as Christ loves the church, which is an act of submission to God's authority in God's order. In the military, there is a chain of command. Failure to accept the authority vested in those who are in superior positions will result in anything from a disciplinary warning to a little bit of time in the brig. So let us speak of authority structures. This latter structure, which we just referred to, our centurion friend knew well. Caesar had his legions, but Christ has his legions. More than 12 legions of angels are under his authority, should he desire to summon them at any point in time. And though the centurion might appeal up the chain of command, even to Caesar, to solve certain problems concerning the Roman Empire, these authorities are impotent when it comes to matters of disease unto death. So he sought the true authority, the real solution, on behalf of his servant. He sought divine help. Jesus was under the authority of one greater than Caesar, and he himself has the power to heal disease, yea, even to provide escapes from death as he wills. So why then do we who call ourselves Christians not beseech our authority with prayers day and night? Though men may abuse their authority, our God and our Savior shall never do so. Jesus the Savior is the benevolent potentate of the church, and he always seeks your welfare, the welfare of those of whom it is written that he is pleased to call them brethren. Jesus said just prior to his ascension, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Just a few short verses before our text, it is recorded, just after the Sermon on the Mount, that so it was. When Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not the scribes. Jesus did not merely interpret the law. He spoke authoritatively with regard to the heart of the law. And you'll know God's true preachers and teachers by the degree to which they speak this word. Now, the authority of the living word is expressed in the written word. And it is by the truth of the Bible that we will be sanctified. Sanctify them by your truth. Thy word is truth. And Isaiah enjoins us to submit to God's authority, lest we be found to be rebels and be punished. And so he cries to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They will pass through it, hard pressed and hungry. And it shall happen when they are hungry that they will be enraged. And what are they going to do? They're going to rebel against authority. They will curse their king and their God and look upward. The imagery here is shaking one's fist in the face of all earthly authority and then looking up and shaking one's fist to the face of God as if some little peon on earth can make a point. And then they will look to the earth and seek trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish. And they will be driven into darkness. So friends, let us learn to respect authority, both divine and divinely appointed on earth, that we might live in peace and be a positive testimony for our Lord. Do not be as the apostate, rejecting authority. The Lord is in need of a few good men and women. Why not enlist in his army? For as it is written, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So seek God through Jesus Christ. Exercise faith. Be obedient. Maintain your testimony by respecting those who are in authority over you, even if your respect is not for the person. Respect their position, for God has placed them there for such a time as this. And this, friends, will be your testimony. It concerns me when folks speak to me and they rage about the injustice in the world and how authority is abused so much. And they think that they will find a license and an agreement not to accept God's authority in their situation, whether it be in their marriage or in their workplace or in society as a whole. And folks who stay on that page don't make it. Because God has given authority as an aid to our faith. And to rail against authority is to rail against the Lord. And so I preach this as a warning to those in my hearing who may have a bent towards that sin, towards rebellion in this area. Because seeking God truly in spirit and in truth, exercising faith and being obedient require you to be willing to be a man or a woman under authority. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this example, the example of this centurion in whom our Lord found great faith. Lord, it is part of the human condition that in the flesh we seek to be our own masters. In the physical realm, even in the spiritual realm, and we do those things that we do not want to do, and we do not do those things that we know we ought to do because you have required it of us. Lord, may your people be known as orderly people. For you, Lord, are a God of law and order, and not of confusion and of peace. Not of confusion, you are a God of peace, Lord God. And we thank you that you have called us to that peace. Give us the strength, the wherewithal, the discernment, the understanding to bear through under legitimate authority in our lives. And Lord, teach us to submit to your authority, especially in that area of the sin which so easily besets us. So we thank you for your presence here today, for your help, the help of your Spirit who dwells within us. And Lord, may these words, even your words, go forth and impress upon the lives of each and every one of us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we'll now offer one another the sign of peace, and following that, we'll have our communion time.